The authors have entitled our lessons, The Sons of Isaac and Rebekah. In another life, I used to always give subtitles. And today, if I had to give one, it certainly would be, God is still faithful. And because he is. It's really interesting how a life can appear to be thwarting the divine providence of God. That life seems to offer some sort of obstacle that would keep you from achieving what God wants you to achieve. Life has a way of doing that. But how does it just keep on happening? You remember Abraham. God promised him that he would be the father of many nations when he didn't have one kid. And he did not have children. Without a child or a chick, Abraham was promised that he would be the father of many nations. And to add to his difficulty, the woman he was married to, Sister Harness, was in fact barren. Could not have children. But yet Abraham had to trust God that God was such a promise keeper. He had to trust God so much. He had to explicitly, implicitly, emphatically, overwhelmingly trust God if he was going to be the father of many nations. Matter of fact, if he's going to be the father of one, he's going to have to trust God, because not only was his wife barren, he's now old. Not only was his wife barren, she was now old. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm no fertility doctor, but the stats on women having children after about 35, they get slimmer, slimmer, despite what the guys try to tell you that you can wait and delay. Don't do it. Statistically, the odds go down. They haven't improved that much. It happens, you know, but it happened in the olden days. Because I was thinking, I was going back through my lineage. You know, we had some sisters in my lineage that they were 58, 59 years old when they birthed. Hear them wimps, Jim? I said 59, not 99. Sister Sarah was what? So you can wait and delay if you want to, but statistically, after 35, it's your chances decrease considerably, 20%, and it happens. And certainly when God is the fertility doctor, anything is possible. Because we saw that Sarah did conceive. She conceived son Isaac. They trusted God. Isaac is now grown. We saw God choose Isaac's wife. We saw God bring Isaac and his wife together last week. And now, when two people get married, one of the first things they start thinking about is, we's married now, what about children? You know, because it's one of the blessings of marriage, you know, is to have children. But what happens when it just doesn't happen? What happens to the psyche? What happens to the spirit? What happens between the couple when you've tried and you've tried? And you tried all night long. And nothing happens. The thing that's interesting, I want you to read with me today. We're just going to talk. But that's the kind of thing I want you to think about. Because we are going to hear again that Isaac, at 40 years old, got married to Rebecca. And now today we're going to find out something about her. That Rebecca, his wife, has the same status as his mother. Oh, come on, y'all. How does life keep throwing you these curveballs? When God has promised you, you're going to be the father of many, but it looks like there are obstacles that get in the way, and it's called just plain old living, because all these people did was get married. When we get married, we'd have a big celebration, and we celebrated, but no results. Verse 19 says, and Isaac was
40 years old.
He's 40 years old. Real key thing. Go ahead. When he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian at Padan Aram, the sister of the Syrian. And Isaac. Stop.
Because she was barren, and the Lord was with him, and Rebecca his wife conceived.
I see that youth church has had its influence on my adult Sunday school class. You know, they don't even listen. You know, they want to act just like the youth. That's how the youth act. They don't listen to no instructions. You know, they just keep on stop. Read. Okay. Verse 21 says, and Isaac entreated the Lord. I want you to focus on that. Because whenever things get in your way, whenever it's not going the way that you know God has purpose and plan for you, whenever it just seems that this situation is impossible, you remember one thing. With God, all things are possible. But what do you do when you've tried and it's just not working out? His wife is barren. And you know what Isaac did? Isaac did what every husband needs to be doing. Isaac did what his wife Rebecca saw him doing at the conclusion of last week's lesson. Remember, as she's approaching, she sees him in the field, and he's in a meditative state, so she knows he's a man of prayer. And you know what? It's real comforting when you're married to someone and you know that they can get a prayer through about your situation. And I notice this. He went to God about Rebecca's condition. I'm messed up. Because without a doctor, a fertility clinic, none of that. How does Isaac know Rebecca got the problem? Oh, guys, I studied the lesson. I'm kind of thing. They ain't got no doctors. So you don't run up in the Lord. But you got to be confident. See, because you know one thing. You don't pray nothing that is not in the will of God. Because you may run up in God's face. I'm like, you know, my wife is barren, you know, and I need you to help me. And God said, you're the problem. What if you're the problem? I want to know how they knew But that's what's recorded. The recording is that his mother, Sarai, was barren, and now he's married. God has put him with a woman who is barren. So look here, this seems like obstacle after obstacle. And I know that my father, who's now died just before we started these verses here, Abraham dies, okay, after marrying and fathering six children. He just went on off the scene after that. He says I've got all the seeds out there from all kinds of nations. God is good. I can just go on to heaven and be with God now. But Isaac is still here, and Isaac remembers the promise, and he remembers the God of his father, and he goes to the God of his father, and he says, "Father, my wife has a problem." Isaac becomes an intercessory warrior. He prays. Wouldn't it be a lot better world if husband and wives just prayed for one another? Yes. You know, instead of blaming one another, well, you're the one. What about regularity? Did you exercise? Did you take this? Instead of playing the blame game, go to God and say, "God, something's wrong." And how do you know? I mean, if you read these verses here, you guys are astute students. They know all this stuff. So they know that, it's been a while. He was 40. And the lesson's going to reveal how old they really were before they conceived. They've been trying a long time. This wasn't no, couple of nights and, at the end of one month and the end of the next month, you checking. This got some years on it now. This is a problem. And you know what? When you got a problem like this, you need to take it to the Lord. All right. And you need to leave it there. Isaac is saying, "I done brung all I can brung." And when you done brung all you can brung, you go to the Lord. When you've reached your limit, you take it up with God, because that's just a starting point for him. So it says that he entreated the Lord. In other words, he pleaded with the Lord, okay, for his wife. Because what? She was, and the Lord was what? Y'all better read the good news. That's answered prayer. A whole bunch of stuff is messed up in life, but we don't want to pray for each other. We want to commiserate. We want to come up with fancy chants and schemes in the street. We need prayer. We need men praying for their wives. We need wives praying for their men. Because we see here in an instance that the moment he went to God and begged God for his wife, something happened. It says, God heard his prayer, and she conceived. You know what I like about, and everybody must say, this is a miracle. This is not a miracle. As a matter of fact, as I share with you guys, even in my generations, there are folk in the family who've had children as late as 59. But guess what? There's some other folk in that same lineage that there's 2 years different. So it was 61 when they conceived their last one. With God, nothing is impossible. What we're talking about, we're not talking about modern day women. We're not talking about modern. Y'all don't want to do that. Don't want to do it. But even whether you're modern day or old day, the rates say that it is 20s when it is most likely. In other words, statistically, it makes more sense in the 20s. And it stays that way until about 35. Okay? But then it drops off. And that's for first time. So I want to just show you that we're not talking about no miracle here. We're just talking about answered prayer. As it turns out, you'll see in the letter of scriptures here that she is 60 years old when she bears this child. They waited 20, they tried 20 years. In 20 years, today's folk, they divorce over this kind of stuff. I'm serious. Oh, you go your way and I want to have children. But you don't notice they didn't do that? That was never a thought. Matter of fact, the record didn't even show that there was a disagreement. That was a blame game. You just saw a man trying and praying. Oh my goodness, you can't beat that combination. You can't beat that combination. But he prays and it happens. Next verse. See, the thing about it, in the previous verse, we saw Isaac praying for his wife, and it happens. But be careful what you pray for. Make sure it's what you want. You know, the idea of children is very nice. Oh, the idea. Oh, folks, let me tell you one thing. The idea. See, y'all play them games if you want to, because this is something I do have some experience in, at least at one time, you know, at least one time. The issue is that, you know, you praying and you thinking they're going to be like this and they're going to be like this, and it don't turn out that way. Because here she's pregnant and she's having a problem in her pregnancy. What do you do when you're having a problem pregnancy? Today, you know, we rely, you know, on the docs and, we take all the medicine and stuff. And that's a good thing, because that's a part of the healing and miracle package. But the first thing you ought to do is seek the Lord. Lord, you evidently planted it, because we tried for 20 years. We came and talked to you and it happened. So, Lord, there's something going on in my pregnancy I don't understand. I mean, all this kicking and moving and what's going on? And see, they didn't have doctors to go to. So take it to the ultimate doctor. He made you. He made them. He says, oh, that's just boys being boys. Had a reveal party right during her prayer time. Y'all think this stuff is new. Ain't nothing new. God been doing this thing a long time. Told her exactly what it is. Hey, and you know what? There's two inside you. In other words, you're going to have twins. And as a matter of fact, they are miles apart. They are warriors. They started the war before they got here. And that's why we got to be careful about our decisions about human life and all of that. God here says that he knows exactly who these boys are. I mean, and that's a testament to what Jeremiah writes also. He says, the Father knew you in your mother's womb. I mean, you don't go around knowing trees and inanimate objects. You know human beings, life. You know life. And so here God tells her, exactly what her problem is. That is tough. Anybody here have twins? Yeah, oh, twins, all right. Oh, twins, all right. Oh, that's right, I remember you. Twins? Oh yeah, twins. That's right. I just saw those twins not long ago. Were they warriors? Did they do a lot of kicking? Well, let me put another group. There's some that have only twins. There's some, do you also have twins and a single child also? You do, yes. Mm-hmm. And you, okay. What was the difference in the births? Was it, wasn't there kicking when there was only one? More quick kicking with the twins? I don't know, I'm just trying. And it's not that I'm taking notes so that, you know, I'm going to go to ask the Lord to do something, but believe me. There you go. Oh no. Matter of fact, you hear something about Sister Sneed like that, you tell her, sister, you better run. Deep 5 hours. Yeah. But my point is that there was kicking even with one child. Okay? So it just wasn't just a normal kicking. I mean, she had never been pregnant, but surely this girl who's lived around this family, this big family all this time, had seen pregnant women and the kind of things that they go through. But she knew something's different here. Because these guys are going at it. And God says, there's a struggle of nations within you. Long before these boys were born, God told her, this is a nationalistic thing. This is a contest. This is a struggle. This is a conflict. Of all the joy that they bring, there's some heartache also. And with you, it's just started in the womb. See, she got a taste of it. You know, what do you do when you're praying right and you're asking in the will of God, and yet things still just keep on happening? It's called life. It's called struggles. And some things you can't get out of. You just got to go through. And you go through it with prayer and supplication and trusting God. Next verse.
And the Lord said to her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.
If you had known what your children were going to be like before they got here, think about that. That's what the Lord just laid on her, Terry. He told her and gave her a profile of these two children, these twins that are in her. And that there was a change in the way things were going to happen. There was a shift in things that were going to happen with these boys in life that was totally different than the normal Jewish paradigm. Because first of all, he said, let me just tell you a little bit about them. One of them's going to be good looking, athletic, you know, outdoorsman. You know, the other one's going to be smooth. A mama's boy, quite frankly. Nerd, he's going to want to be in the house, you know. But the biggest difference is the younger. And then the younger, here you say, well, they're twins. Well, you know, there's always one. You know, how is it that you got one is older than the other one? Nah, he just beat you to the door. He ain't no, oh, please. That's so unfair. That's so unfair. But anyway, he says, one's going to be older. And normally, that means birthright. That means that the oldest child has access to all the birthright, has first dibs. But in this case, the younger is going to have that birthright. God told him, told Rebecca about her children before they were born. It had to be staggering. And you know what? The issue is, how is it that this man and woman who are prayers who wanted children, they get exactly what they want from God. And now the children are on the way. Problems creep in, and they will later be divided, just as the two nations were. Nothing should separate us from the love of God. And nothing should ever separate us from the love between a man and a woman. I'm going to say it again. Oh, they mad with me now, Nina. That's right. That's right. Deacon Newsom, help me out. How is the two that became one going to be separated by something? You're one. So if you're one and you have twins, you don't love one twin more than the other one. Folks, y'all got to hear me. Oh, I know it's natural. I know. Y'all put a blindfold over your eyes, everybody except the people who have twins. I was going to ask that. Do you love one child more than the other? Well, you people with children. You love one child more than the other? They don't want to answer. I can answer that emphatically, and I ain't scared to answer. You see? And that's how you need to see your children. One. When it comes to love, I love one. When it comes to love, I love one. Or I love every last one. Don't ever fall into that trap of divide and conquer. Mama loves one, the daddy loves another one. But that's what happened to this couple, this praying couple. If it happens to a praying couple, imagine what the world is going through. And that's why we got so many folks. When we're talking about, you can't even go to family reunions because one is against the other, one side against the other. Because somebody has gotten hurt in your family. You know why? Because you failed to love. Bottom line, he was like, well, I didn't fall in love. They got mad because of such and such. They wanted ham hocks at the last reunion. We won't have no ham hocks. They got their feeling hurt. Y'all know my favorite scripture? But God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies. In other words, he gave his son for his worthless enemy. He thought more of his enemies, it appears, than he did his son. Gave his son. He kept right on loving. Yeah, all children. That, you know, the reason why this lesson is here today is because it's a reminder to all of us. All children are children. Your children. They're your children. You don't try to separate them. You don't let, and you don't let them separate you. Right. You stand as one. Yeah, that's right. But the issue is that, well, Brother Sneed, you know, you only got one child. Hey, I grew up with siblings. I watched my mama. I watched my grandmother especially. She taught me a very valuable lesson. As a matter of fact, I could have been the father of many. Because I understand the concept. This issue about because you don't treat them the same means you don't love them. No. You treat them as love is required based on their needs. Oh, yeah, society will tell you, you know, we all the same. We got to be treated the same. No! My needs aren't your needs. My needs aren't my needs. I need to be loved unconditionally for who I am. That's why I'm saved unconditionally, because of who I am. God didn't say they're different. He says he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He loved every one of you the same in terms of salvation. But he treats us differently, because some of you have been praying for children for years and years, maybe in one of these classrooms around here, Maybe not this one. But now God answers her prayer, but hasn't answered yours. Does he love her more than he loves you? No. He knows what your purpose is, and he knows what your needs are. God has never made a mistake. But I love this, because I wish I'd have known some of the things about Terilyn before she got here. You know, you know, just a little talk with the Lord. We'll make it all right. Says, the younger is going to what? The elder is going to serve the younger. And when what? You know what's interesting about that particular passage of scripture for her? It's just what God told her. That scripture right there tells me you can trust God. You can trust the words of God. You can't trust the words of men, but you can trust the words of God. When God tells you, matter of fact, that's why scripture says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can trust the word of God. And that's why the word of God needs to be taught throughout every church. The word of God should never be neglected, folks. Soapbox again, just give me a few seconds. Yeah, you can have all the stuff you want. You can have them dancing. You're going to have them singing. I love some worship. But you know what? I know one thing about Family Church School is that it is the arm of evangelism, and that most of you who grew up in the church got saved in Sunday school. Oh, don't talk to me. They don't want to talk to me. Because it's what you were taught. Because it was the one thing that was consistent. Every Sunday, consistent. The word being taught. Bible study, maybe some of you didn't do it, and especially as you got old. But as you went to family church school, you knew you were going to hear a word. And it's from that word that more than likely, a great many of you were already saved. You just come to most folk can't really, they can tell you the day that they got baptized and all that, but the day they were really saved, they'll go to ask the Lord in heaven, Nick, they'll say, what day, what, thank you, Lord. You already know. So, you got, the word of God can be trusted, and if God tells you something, it's going to happen. Verse 25. Red man, Esau. That's what it means, red. And then because he looked like the clay of the earth, and he was hairy, and he suited for the woods. He had a permanent camouflage, you know. So, but he came. That's how he was. And after that came his what? And his what? And Isaac was what?
34 years old.
This boy 60 years old. He's 60 years old. 20 years. That means he's been begging. And now it comes. And when it comes, he must have said, oh, man, what is this? One hairy, one smooth and plain, but it was more than that. They were just like God said. They were very different. They represented two different nations, nations that were opposite of each other, nations that had a different mindset. Because as you go on to read the chapter, you're going to find out that one, like I said, liked the outdoors. The other one stayed right up on his mama. Y'all may have kids like that. Won't go nowhere. One wants to be outside all the time, the other one, no. Of course, today's kids, they always, they're, They're all inside now. They had to rewrite this, Terry.
Everybody.
Let me tell you something. When I was growing up in the summer, somebody talk about, you gotta stay inside. What have I done? What have I done? And even me, and I've never been much of an outside person either, but I love being on the outside. Summer, really. Winter now, that was a different story for me. Summer, I wanted to be out there, hot, hotter the better. Running barefoot, bare chested. Be so dusty, with no grass, you know. Boy, you know you ain't coming up in this house. Why? Because you ain't ashy, you dusty. Nah. See, did you hear all this modern stuff? Talking about, oh, go straight to the shower. Let me tell you what the shower was. Shower's a number 3 tub on the back porch. House absolutely spotless. All that dust. They got grass now, you know, be dust everywhere. Nah, you can come up in there. But you stayed on the outside. But here, we learned that Esau loved being on the outside. He was an outdoorsman. And we're going to see he was a hunter. As we, you know, your Bibles will get a little description on there because we won't have much more on him. But he, in fact, because of his love of the outdoors, this Esau, the older one, his father was close to him. And really, typically, they say that, but normally the older child and the older son and the dad normally are closer. Old days, it's reversed now. The mothers, they hang on to them first children, girls or boys. Y'all hold on to them. I'm serious. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Matter of fact, every man, when he gets married, he needs to pray for a daughter first. Because first of all, when them boys grow up, watch this, Nick. When them boys grow up, they go, they ain't no take care of you. You get you a girl, oh, let me tell you. Them girls will keep mama straight in your old days. I'm like, hey, mama, what, did you do something, something for daddy? Oh, daddy said, oh, I love them girls. I ain't got nothing against them. Them boys, we all are. But the older, normally, because he was going to get the birthright, you know, they would be closer to the father. You know, and the father kind of mentors them and everything. And the second kid would be forgotten. And in this case, they are twins. So, but by birth, Esau should have had the birthright. But God had told Rebekah that he would not get it. She knew all of this. Here's what the sad turn on this lesson is that she knew all this information, and she used that information to help facilitate something. See, folk, I think it was Pastor Cobb that talked about, you know, what do you do when you when you run up against an obstacle and you can't touch it? How low do you go without touching it or falling down? You know, without touching it. When God has something for you, keep your hands off of it. Don't try to help God, because that's the problem. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, when you and God are 50-50, God's got a bad partner. But bottom line, just keep your things are going. God has got this thing. He told you before these kids were born, I got this. This is what's happening. But you know what? She's going to go help God. Oh, yeah, shit. Y'all know the story, right? Yeah. Trust God. But the thing that really shows, and the reason why I like these lessons, is that you can be men and women of God. You can be families of God, love God, cherish God, worship God, give back to God, do ministry for God's kingdom, and still make so many bad mistakes. That's the sad commentary, and even on ourselves. But we can't be too hard on ourselves. Just as I shared with the deacons yesterday, you've got to learn to forgive yourself. Because if you're not making mistakes, you're not doing nothing. And it is a natural tendency to try to help when you think you can do something. But the issue is, when God has foreordained something, when God has intervened, get out the way. Your only responsibility is to simply pray. Get out the way. I've seen it. No ministry, small ministries, great ministries have failed because we've prayed and prayed and we prayed and we prayed all night long. And then when we started having success, we start putting our hands on it. Oh, yeah, resurrection, that's for us too. Because this ministry wasn't built with big shot callers and it wasn't built with chicken dinners and washing cars. It was built on tithes and offerings, which the newly ordained pastor of that church, he's 28 years ago now, said, we're going to study God's word. We're not going to sell chicken. We're not going to wash cars. We're going to build this ministry. And in that 119 folk, 60 of them children, this is the ministry that you guys have inherited. Tithes and offering, giving. But guess what? Nobody can get any credit. You can't look back and say, well, Terry's around, man, you know, I remember them old guys, and you know, they've been there 30 years and all that kind of stuff. We didn't know what we were doing. Except we knew that God was in control. We kept our hands off of it. Stop tinkering with stuff that God has ordained. Long before there was a Resurrection Baptist Church, there was a Resurrection Baptist Church. In the mind of God, God knew all of you would be here. He knew who he was going to bring here. And he knew that he would always meet your needs because he is a provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's a provider. Do you understand the word provide? It is a contraction of two words, really. Pro and video. In other words, God looks forward and he takes a video of your life so that every day next Tuesday he can meet your need because he's already videoed it. Leave it alone. But don't mess up the movie. Don't change the script. The video has already been shot. We got to go. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but split him. After all of that time, I want everything that's mine. If I got twins, I want both of them. Y'all hear me? I got three children. I want all three of them. And the want that I have is I want to love them. I want to love them unconditionally. I want to love them for who they are, for whose they are, first of all. I may not like what you do, but I love you. Oh, did I also tell you that y'all, my brothers and sisters, I love y'all too. I don't like what you do, but I love you. I'll see y'all next week.